Morning all, Thursday, May 9, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Couple of really good games of footy tonight in the NRL. The Dolphins up against Manly, sneaky good game. Fourth v fifth on the ladder, and in the AFL, an absolute burner. Carlton and Melbourne, the last time they played in the semi-final last year. One of the better games you'll see, which Carlton eked out by 2 points on that occasion. The fields are out for Saturday. Big day at Gosford for the Coast meeting. And a nice filly, very expensive one. One on debut there at Warwick Farm yesterday. Clean Energy. Counting down to the Kambosos-Lomachenko fight on Sunday as well. Over there in Perth, going to be a beauty. And back in the nation is our man Pup. How are you, Pup?
Morning, boys. Good morning. Yeah, I'm well, thank you. Morning to our listeners. It's nice to be home, Middo. Put it that way. Got in late last night. Had a great trip, don't get me wrong, but geez, that feeling when that aeroplane flies over the top of Sydney is the best feeling in the world. So great to be home, buddy.
Good to have you back. Loza, morning to you,
mate. Morning, Middo. Morning, Pup. Great to have you home, mate. Hope you enjoyed yourself over there in India.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
I saw Travis Head last night go off, playing some great cricket in the IPL. I shouldn't say all of our guys are playing well over there, but some of our guys have just had enormous IPLs, haven't they?
They've hit form.
Yeah.
What's your boys' take on the Jake Fraser-McGurk missing the World Cup squad?
Oh, I had to get him in there. He's in too good a form. I know the old
imagine him and Travis Head walking out together.
Yeah, we were the two names three threw up yesterday, and I know they offer with their bowling, but Stoinis or Green maybe. But Stoinis has been playing pretty well. I mean,
we missed out again last night, Stoinis.
Yeah, he's probably been playing better than Green though over the course
yes,
of the
yeah,
IPL.
Definitely. Yeah. He got a brilliant 100 Marcus Stoinis, like one of the hundreds of the tournament, and he's got another 60 as well. Greeny's just trying to turn things around now, and his team RCB are just starting to turn things around. I can understand the reasons behind sticking with the known player, and it's not, I don't think it's Jake Fraser-McGurk versus David Warner. I don't think that's the battle. I think David Warner's a good enough player in the conditions we're going to bat anywhere. And I think he offers us a bit of an advantage if he comes in at number three or number four, being a left-hander, because I think a lot of teams are going to bowl spin. So if you've got a left-right-hand combination, that can help. Jake Fraser-McGurk could have offered that at the top of the order, him and Travis Head left, right hand. But just there, the intimidation factor at the moment, I know we've gone with the tried and tested, so I can understand that. But I just feel, if I'm a bowler, I think I'd rather bowl to anyone else that opens than Jake Fraser-McGurk at the moment in those first six overs. Him and Travis Head, they are on fire.
It's a tantalising thought, isn't it, having those two opening the batting?
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, he had to miss out. I think...
Yeah, you can't get 16 into 15, can you?
I think if he had a bit more time, and I reckon if they didn't name the squad when they did, if they left it to, the end of the IPL, it might change. Because he just stand and delivers, doesn't he? He has just got a good eye.
You know what my old man says, Loz? My old man finds it really hard to watch... Oh, not to watch 2020, but to like a little bit like you, Mido, to get into it. Like he doesn't love the game at all. No. So he said it's baseball more than cricket. He said Jake Fraser-McGurk is the perfect example. That kid and thinks he's a superstar, but he said it's base. He stands there like a baseballer, and hits. He puts his foot in the same spot and just plays baseball. And when my old man, you laugh and go, Dad, mate. Come on, mate, get with the times. But if you watch Jake Fraser-McGurk bat, his whole setup is exactly the same as a baseballer.
Well, he does. He just stands and delivers, doesn't he? He just goes
that's
bang.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, technically, it's just see ball, hit ball, isn't it, Pup? Like you say, just put your foot in that spot.
Yeah. And you know what's going to be interesting? Because this, I really like Jake, and I think he's going to play... I think he's talented enough to play all three formats, but his challenge is now going to be going into Sheffield Shield cricket and Test cricket with that technique against a ball that might move a little bit. The way he's set up, he's probably a middle order batsman in the longer format, but his hand eye coordination and his talent, I think he'll find a way. A little bit like when Davey Warner came in, he started as a 2020 specialist as well, but they're just so talented, they find a way. So I think Jake will, but he'll definitely need to make some adjustments with his technique against the ball that moves once he plays on wickets that are going to do a bit more.
Yeah, they're one of those batsmen that can just take a game away straight away, like in the first hour, first session, of a long-form game or the first four overs of the short-form game. They can just destroy an opposition.
You make 100 in the first six overs.
Yeah, oh, mate, oh, unbelievable.
But last night, if Travis Head and the left-hander, he's opening, I can't think of his name, if they batted first, they would have made 300.
Abhishek Sharma.
Abhishek Sharma, a brilliant young left-hander as well. Good player. He's been on fire as well. But, Matt, they got 160 in nine overs.
Yeah, I was just going to say for our listeners overnight, we're referring to Travis Head's performance. So the Lucknow Super Giants posted 4 for 165. And the Sunrisers Hyderabad openers, who are Abhishek Sharma and Travis Head, reached the target in 9.4 overs. So that's going at a clip of 17.27. None for 167. Head, 89 not out of 30 deliveries. Sharma, 75 not out of 28 deliveries. So Head struck at 296.66 and Sharma, 267.85. We were having the discussion yesterday with Bulldog, though, Pup. The game has just got skewed way too far. Yeah. In the direction of the batsman. I mean, this is ridiculous.
It won't be like this all the time. This is, we're seeing these scores because of the wickets in India. India, the grounds are tiny. They're lightning fast outfields, and some of these pitches that we've seen are out of control. You're not going to see this in Australia. You've got bigger boundaries. There's generally more in the pitch as well. So I think the above 200 is realistic now, but the 250s, the 300, you're not going to see that consistently. So I think we've just got to just hold on a little bit because we're seeing it in India at the moment in the IPL. Even at the World Cup, I don't think we'll see scores this dramatic as consistently as we've seen it. But yeah, I think there's a level, you know, I'm with you. I don't think I'm one of the people, even though I'm a batter, that wants to see 300 scored. Because I tell you now, if you've got a son or a daughter who's a bowler, you're spending time in the lounge room, they're in tears. They don't want to play. Yeah. Everyone wants to be a batsman, but cricket, you need bowlers as well. But at the moment, some of these grounds, you're better off setting up a bowling machine.
In India, though, Pup, is there any commentary talking about what we're just talking about now? Or are they just?
Yes.
Or are they?
No. Lots.
Oh, is like, there? Okay. Well, that gives me hope.
Even all the commentary is it have we gone too far? Is it too?
Well,
there is nothing. There's nothing in the favour of the bowlers. At the moment, the brand new Kookaburra is not swinging much at all over in India. They're blaming the balls, but I don't know. I think it's the pitches as much as anything else. They're just so flat. And they're not even deteriorating enough. So now you're three quarters away through the tournament. You expect these wickets to be a little bit used, but because there's so many venues now, you're playing all around the country. The wickets are still good. The groundsmen are doing too good a job. So there's got to be some sort of transition where, Matt, even if it's 70-30, 70 for the batters for the entertainment, 30 for the bowlers, even that gives them some chance. But at the moment, some of these grounds are 99-1. It's just stand and deliver. So, yeah, I think the entertainment factor of hitting sixes every ball is good in theory, but mate, it's the same as baseball. You want to see strikeouts as well.
What about, was there much talk about the rise of the T20 franchises all around the world, and talk about maybe the decline of Test match cricket? While you were there?
Not really, Loz. I think our safety is India still are very keen to play Test cricket. Like, I get on very well with Rohit Sharma, and I've had a number of conversations with him, who, again, has been a brilliant T20 and one-day player, but he loves Test cricket as well. He's the Indian captain at the moment. You know, so I think as long as they still want to play Test cricket, And they're playing more five-test match series as well. They're playing a five-test match series against Australia this summer. They played five test matches against England as well. So I think the fact test cricket is probably going to be dominated by only a handful of countries. I think India, Australia, England, and maybe South Africa, I think are going to be the big four around test cricket. In regards to the quality of that, but I think the game that we'll continue to talk about how that's going to play out is one day cricket, because if you go from this what we've just been watching to then watch a one day, those middle overs are going to feel so boring. So I think test cricket's safe at this stage, buddy, that's for sure. And T20 cricket, mate, it is just, I can't believe I keep saying it, it's getting bigger over there. Like, they're adding two more teams. So now this tournament that goes for 8 weeks is now going to go for 12 weeks.
Seriously.
So I don't know how the ICC is going to fit in the international schedule. That's going to take another hit as well. They've got a Champions Trophy in April next year. The Pakistan Premier League's on in April. The Indian Premier League's on in April. It's all going to conflict. So I don't know how it's going to work.
I'll tell you what, the wheel's about to turn at South's, Loz. Do you know why?
Why?
Cookie, our man, tipped a winner at Warwick Farm yesterday. Pippi Beach in the last. And thanks for pointing that out on the text line. Cheers to Cookie for the tip yesterday. Pippi Beach salutes.
All right, so you think now he's got his confidence with the tipping of the horses.
Yeah, it'll just transfer feed into over. The club.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, I like your way of thinking. I'd like to see South have a bit of success. A lot of people wouldn't.
They were the people I was thinking of when you said that. I was referring people on my mates group chat are just loving watching them in the dog.
Oh, yeah, I hate seeing teams really struggle. I want to see them get a win here and there.
Got enough good player. They'll bounce back.
Oh, they'll bounce back. They'll go on together. A run. Yeah. They'll go on a run.
They won't get the spoon.
No, they're too good to get the spoon.
Real Madrid and Bayern Munich is scoreless at halftime in their second leg Champions League semi-final this morning. 2-2 on aggregate from the first leg. The winner to play Borussia Dortmund in the final at Wembley, of course. Back page of the Daily Telegraph today. And it is, I want to coach again. Is the headline there, Demetrio's exit interview. So he has spoken to News Corp here, and in the wake of his sacking, he's adamant, the former Souths coach Demetrio, that he holds no bitterness towards the club, that he'll take many learnings from the experience, will be a better coach and still has ambitions to coach in the NRL. In fact, he intends to keep consuming the game. So he'll be ready to go when or if he receives an opportunity, has said absolutely all the right things here. Oz, as we know, in the great game of rugby league or in any profession you're in, it's best to go quietly and not burn bridges.
Oh, most definitely. I think he's handled himself with a bit of class, Jason Demetrio. Yeah. I thought the message he sent to the players was first an exceptional text message, very heartfelt, and spoke about the enjoyment the players gave him and seeing them grow. He left on great terms with the playing group and now the club. He's certainly not going to be critical. They gave him an opportunity. It didn't work out. And I think he'll be back, Jason Demetrio. It'll take him a while to get back as a head coach, but I think getting back into the system, he'll be there, no worries. In fact, he probably gets a start somewhere next year as an assistant or a senior assistant and then tries to work his way back up the ladder. But all reports are that he's a wonderful coach, great man manager, and gets on really well with his players. And I think if he has his time over again, he'd do things differently. But
did I think he's commentating Mido? Loz?
Yeah, I think he's got a gig with Triple M.
He does.
Triple M, yeah, okay. For the rest of the year. So
that's got to be a good thing as well. Keeps him heavily involved and eyes on the footy throughout the season.
Yeah,
as well.
No, I think it's a good move to have someone like that involved in commentary. But I think he would have learnt a lot after the couple of years he had in charge of South Sydney. And if he's faced with those situations again, he'd probably make some different decisions.
And, you know, when you less than
one. As we all would, when you spend a bit more time in the job and when you learn.
And I'm sure he probably has some, disgruntlement, but by not airing them is just the way to go. Because you can only imagine the story he's probably got. Oh, really behind the scenes.
What's it going to say?
He was told that probably did not happen. Yeah. And he had probably, when he sacked his coach, I'm sure there's a side to the story he'd love to give.
I'm sure, but I think what does that serve? And he's handled himself really classy. You know, he's done a really good job the way he's been able to come out of it. It would have been a tough time for him with all the speculation. And not, I think it's always easier on the person involved because you've been a part of it, if you know what I mean. Like, when you've been inside the tent, you know how it all works. So you know how it all rolls. You know, if you're going to get sacked, the dogs are barking, it's going to be in the media, people are going to be talking about it, and it's a, not a pile on, but it just seems like every day they're not letting you go until you go. And it's the family and friends that feel it more.
It's always not, easy not when saying it's that, not you laws as well, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, when it's like when you read something in the paper, when it's about yourself, you feel like it's written like in font 100 bold capital letters. You think it's like the biggest story in the world, but to everyone else, they just they read it, they turn the page, they read about someone else, they turn the page. The next day, there's a story about like everything just moves on. But it is hard. Like if it's the first time you go through it. As you said, Loz, it's as much about all the phone calls and support you get from family and friends because it hurts them as well, the criticism.
Back page of the Courier Mail in Queensland today. Left, right, out. Sailor all at sea. Talented Broncos backline weapon in limbo after latest admission is the headline here. Any extent of surprise, Loz, that Tristan Sailor was overlooked with Adam Reynolds being out of this side? There was talk that perhaps Ezra Mamm and Sailor could combine in the halves, but they've gone with 27-year-old Josh Rogers, who we don't know a lot about, in halfback this week.
I haven't seen Josh Rogers, but one thing I think you have to get right when you haven't got your best sevens available is to pick a seven. Someone that genuinely knows how to run a team.
Look at Penrith.
Has been in charge of a team because it's so much easier. When you haven't been a dominant figure of a football team, and they say, mate, there's the keys to the team, go and run it. If you haven't done it before, at NRL level, you're in for a tough afternoon, I think. I remember Sheensy actually wanted me to play halfback. I played halfback a couple of games. It was totally different, and I was out of my depth doing it. I just couldn't do it. So it's not for everyone. And if you haven't done it in the lower grades, it's hard learning on the run in the NRL. Now, I don't know whether Tristan has played any halfback. I don't know whether Ezra Mann has played any halfback. But it doesn't strike... They don't strike me as the players that can run a team and be really dominant and get people into position. That's all they have to do. They're brilliant with the football, but I think Kevy's made the right decision here. I think he's gone with a genuine seven that he knows can just get the team to where we need them to go, kick well, tackle well, use my voice, and that's all he's looking for.
Warren, the subject of sevens, or possibly sixes, if you're talking rep footy, Andrew John's column in the Herald today, why this is the most important 3 weeks of Hines' career. And it certainly is for Nico Hines to put himself in the Origin frame, as they've got, of course, the Storm this week. They've got the Roosters in Brisbane for Magic Round, and then they come back and play Penrith at home in Sydney. So this is, isn't it, Loz? This 3 weeks will determine whether Nico Hines is picked in Origin or not.
Oh, yeah, I think it will. I think Nico has said that he didn't handle last year being dropped and didn't handle when he got an opportunity to come on in that game. And he said that, you know, he could have done things a little bit better. But I reckon, you know, they're going to look at the way he defends, look at the way... If he makes a mistake, how does he recover from making that mistake? And what's his next action? Does he forget about it and park it? Or is he a guy that continually worries about what's just happened and takes him 5 or 10 minutes then to recover and get back into a game? In these high-intensity games that he's about to face. You know, they've played some good teams, but they're about to start this run against the Storm, the Roosters and the Panthers. And if he can deliver in that 3 weeks, then he's got to be a massive hope of playing 5-8 for New South Wales.